In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
You see, you and I, we're very brave. We come in and we've got the facade on our face. How you doing? We're doing good. God bless you. And we do this, and this is how Christians are supposed to act. But there are times we go to church and we're sitting there and we're just exhausted. How you doing? Good. But we're dying inside, and Lord, please, I'm here. And this is how we feel, if we're being honest.
Welcome to In Christ Radio, where we are continuing in our Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark, as we explore the life of Jesus, our servant in sacrifice, and our King in glory. Today we cover chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, with the lesson titled, Running on Empty. The disciples have just returned from ministry, tired, hungry, and worn out. Jesus calls them away to rest, but the crowds follow. Instead of turning them away, the servant king has compassion. He feeds not only their souls with his teaching, but also their bodies with a miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and more than 5,000 people satisfied. The lesson here, when we run on empty, Jesus is the one who fills. He meets us in our weakness, multiplies what little we have, and proves himself to be more than enough. It is okay to rest. Jesus calls us to rest. When you feel exhausted or overwhelmed, do you turn to your own strength or to Jesus, the one who can supply abundantly more than you need? So grab your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, in the lesson titled, Running on Empty. Here's Pastor Ben.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest. 'Cause everything I need to be in Christ.
Church, I want to start our Bible study by directing your minds to the book of Isaiah. So go to Isaiah real quick. We're going to be looking at chapter 40, 28 through 31. If you're not there, it's okay. It'll be on the screen as well. But the prophet Isaiah writes this. Have you not known, he asked the question, have you not heard, what's that, Isaiah? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. What happens? He never faints, nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives the power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a great, great passage Isaiah writes. Now, as I was studying Isaiah in the intro for Mark chapter 6, I found a story, I read a story, and it was written, and I want to share it with you, but it was written during the darkest time, if you will, the darkest time in our nation's history recently. Now, I understand back in the early 1900s, the Spanish flu wiped everybody out, but what I want to share with you is during the pandemic that probably, and mostly, and I'm sure every one of us has experienced and had experienced. It was 2020. And here's the story that I want you to see. And I'm quoting this story. Don't know who it's from, but she says this. I just don't think I can do this anymore. Can anybody relate? My friend said through tears as she discussed the overwhelming sense of helplessness she faced as a nurse in the global health crisis. I know that God has called me to nursing, but I'm overwhelmed emotionally. I'm overwhelmed and emotionally drained, she confessed. Seeing that a cloud of exhaustion had come over her, I responded, whoever this is, I know you feel helpless right now, but ask God to give you the direction you're seeking and the strength to persevere. At that moment, she decided to intentionally seek God through prayer. Soon after, my friend was invigorated with a new sense of purpose. Not only has she emboldened to continue nursing, but God gave her the strength to serve even more people by traveling to hospitals around the country, end quote. Now, very quickly, if you don't mind, I want to break down the text, if you will, as an intro to our study. You see, you and I, as fully devoted followers of Jesus, we can always look for God's help and encouragement when we feel overburdened, because here's what Isaiah writes. In chapter 40, verse 28, he says, "He will not grow weary or tired." The prophet states that our Father in heaven gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Through God's strength is everlasting. He knows that we are inevitably have days where, listen, we're physically, emotionally, and spiritually consumed. But when we look to God for our strength, instead of trying to sprint through life's challenges alone, He restores and renews us and gives us the resolve to press on. You see, that's what the prophet Isaiah writes. Now, the reason I share this with you is because I believe it communicates what Mark is going to teach us today. Now, let me step back for a moment, because most of, if not all of us, if you grew up in church or you've ever attended a church or you were in Sunday school, we've all heard the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. We've all heard that story. We've probably heard that story multiple times. You see, it's a story about miracles. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the story of the 5,000? Now, some commentators believe it was more than 5,000 because most gospels just account for the men. He doesn't say the whole family or so and so. So it could have been anywhere between 10 to 15,000 that Jesus fed. You go, wow, that is a miracle. But it's also a miracle. It's also a story of unbelief. Unbelief. I'm going to show you how in just a minute. Oh, not that people didn't believe in Jesus. They just didn't believe in the miracle. They're a little skeptical. There are a lot of people today who are skeptical. There are a lot of people today who walk around and go, oh, I'm not sure. I don't know. The story also is about transparency. And we're going to see the hearts of the disciple. But if we dig a little bit deeper, it's a story and it teaches us something about our own heart. You see, as we unpack the text this morning, we discover that many here today are running on empty. And if you're honest, you're needing a touch from the Lord this morning. You see, you and I, we're very brave. We come in and we've got the facade on our face. How you doing? We're doing good. God bless you. And we do this, and this is how Christians are supposed to act. But if we're being honest, there are times we go to church and we're sitting there and we're just exhausted. How you doing? Good. But we're dying inside, and Lord, please, I'm here. And this is how we feel, if we're being honest. I don't know where Christians got the idea that we can't be honest with one another or be transparent to the Lord. We have to feel like we're strong and tough and okay. Well, Ben, don't let them see you. No, you're the pastor. You're their leader. You've got to, okay, but I'm tired. Don't ever tell them you're tired. Just go through. Okay. All right. And so again, you might be here today, and if you're honest, you're just running on empty. Your gas tank is over here. This morning, if you don't mind, we're still going to break down the text like we do every week. We're going to unpack it. We're going to exegetically pull it out. But I want to, if you'll do me a favor, I want to look deeper in our hearts, a little bit deeper, and ask if we're missing that touch that only the Lord can do. Am I missing that, Lord? Now, before we jump in, let me bring you up to speed. Remember, last week, we learned about two kingdoms. There were two kingdoms at war. Two kingdoms at war. So what's happening in this text is this. There's something in the Bible that's called a parenthesis. And you go, okay, what's meant? Okay, so we've been walking with Jesus, and last we discovered he sent the guys out on a mission trip. Remember, Jesus has sent the 12 on their first mission trip, and he tells them this. He sent them out two by two nothing except their staff. He says, don't take any money, don't take any food, only the clothes, and you're going to go out on this mission trip. Now, we learned four things very quickly that you and I could apply to our lives. I'm going to share them this morning, but if you weren't here, go back and listen to that message. There are four things. Number one, a calling. A calling is what we see. We learned that a calling is a strong urge given by God to a particular way of life or ministry. And what we learned is God has a calling for every one of us. He's called us to live in a particular way of life. The Bible says we are the called out ones, so you're called out from the world, and that's what you are, the church. You're called out. You're called out. The second thing we saw is the sending. God wants you to represent him with others. That's the sending. How are you doing on that? How is your neighbors? Do your neighbors know you're Christians? Does your coworkers know you're a fully devoted follower of God? Oh yeah, Pastor, I went over to my neighbors and I said, you better accept Jesus or I'm gonna... That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how you represent the Lord. How do you represent the Lord? Well, the other day we went out to dinner and I had some unbelievers and I was a little bit, I wanted to pray for my food, so I just sort of bowed my hands and said, Lord Jesus, amen. And we just no, we represent the Lord. We go, hey, I'm a believer. Do you mind if I bless this? And that's, we're representing God in everything. That's who we are. And it just exudes out of us because we've just been spending time with Jesus. It just comes out. And that's what he's telling us. And then he saw the third thing, the enabling. And what is the enabling? Well, God empowers you to accomplish the mission. Whatever God wants you to do, he's going to equip you to do it. That's the enabling. And last but not least, we learned last week, the depending. God wants us to trust him to provide. To provide. So we see the disciples go out right in the middle of Mark writing this down. Right in the middle of the narrative, we have a break. It's called a parenthesis. Mark decides, I'm going to share the story of John the Baptist. Has nothing to do with the verses before or the ones that we're going to look at today. It's a parenthesis. Here's just a side note, okay? A side note. If you study Revelation, there are a lot of parentheses in that book. It's very symbolic, but there's a lot. And so you've got to read it that way so you go, oh. Or else if we read it how we've been taught, we're like, this doesn't make sense. So there's a parenthesis. Mark chose the opportunity after Jesus sent out his disciples on their first mission to report the death of John the Baptist. You see, early on, Mark hinted at that. He said, hey, back in chapter 1, verse 14, he goes, hey, but he didn't save the full report until here in chapter 6. We talked about that last week. Now, by way of reminder, these two kingdoms at war, what are they? Number one, you've got a heavenly kingdom filled with faith, with promise, peace, love, and joy. But you also got an earthly kingdom. It's a demonic kingdom. It's a counterfeit kingdom. And here's what it does. It promises you, but it never delivers. It brings forth death. It brings forth death. You see, last week we discovered the kingdom of God through Jesus and his ministry. We also saw the counterfeit kingdom in the life of Herod as well as the family. John's death in last week's teaching was crucial. You go, why? Because it was a preview of the death of Jesus. You go, how so? Both men were put to death by secular rulers who did not want to execute their prisoners. Both Herod was like, oh, I don't want to do this. He's, Herodias, you know, the whole story. Pilate said, he's innocent. What do you guys want? Barabbas. Both secular rulers caved into the pressure from outsiders. Can you imagine? At the praetorium, crucify him, and just feeling that pressure. Okay, well, you see, Pilate actually had Jesus scourged in hoping it would appease the crowd. And all it did was incite them all the more. What you need to know about people is that they're easily incited. They may not even believe what they're chanting about, but they join in. Come on, somebody. There might have been people in the crowd saying, crucify him. Who is this? Like somebody told me just to get in line, and so I'm here, and they have no clue. And don't you think that's a lot of people today? That's a lot of people. They're not listening. They're not studying. They're not breaking down the scripture, and they just join in what everybody thinks. And so they go to the social media and go, well, if that's what it all, amen, and they jump in. The story last week also suggests that the mission of the disciples followed the death of John the Baptist. See where it's positioned, okay? The mission of our church is following Jesus. And so that brings us up to speed. Today, we're walking with Jesus, and we're going to take a look. Go with me to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Wow, okay. So we pick up the mission from when he sent them out, okay? This is the debrief. Jesus says, hey, guys, come on in. Tell me what happened, man. And so the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told them all they had done, all they had taught. They told them, and you've got to understand, this is amazing. But I want to show you something that's going to jump out of the text. First and foremost, you go, how so? Go back with me to verse 1 of chapter 6. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Mark writes, then he, speaking of Jesus, went out from there and came to his own countries. Here's the line I want you to see. And his disciples followed him. Everybody say disciples. Okay, so Mark here calls them disciples. If you want to know what a disciple is, jot this down. It's a learner. It's a pupil. That's what a disciple is. Today, you guys, God is calling you from being church attenders to disciples, to learning and growing in God's word. This is what disciples are. Why? He's going to send you out with a purpose. Oh, no. Pastor, I don't want to be a missionary. All of us are missionaries. But we're missionaries in our neighborhoods. We're missionaries at the mall. We're missionaries at our job. And he's going to call us out. Now, verse 1. Now, jump over to verse 7. This is the mission trip. Look at verse 7 with me. And he called the 12 to himself. And he began to send them out two by two. And he gave them power over clean spirits. Okay, you see that? You go, Ben, what's your point? When we come to verse 30... Mark doesn't employ the word disciples. He doesn't just leave it blank. He calls them apostles. Wait. Something's changed. Yeah. You see the word apostles here in the Greek is apostolos, and it means to delegate ambassadors of the gospels, where we get our English term missionary. Missionary. You go, wait, but what's changed? I'll tell you what's changed. You ready? They're growing in the Lord. How so? Follow me over here. Disciples following Jesus. Okay. They're watching him do miracles. You guys with me? They're watching him do a miracle. Oh, this is crazy. Then they move to going out themselves. And now he calls them apostles. Apostles, something's changed. They're growing. But because they're growing, you and I have to chat a little bit about apostles. You see, God wants us to grow from attenders to disciples. And yet others would say, yeah, and then I'm from disciples, we need to be apostles. Oh, hold on, slow down. We don't have modern day apostles. Wait a minute, that's not true. I know somebody in Dallas that calls himself Apostle so-and-so. Okay, let me explain biblically why. Okay, give me a minute. According to scripture, these are the qualifications for an apostle. Number one, okay, you had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. Anybody see Jesus lately? We haven't seen him. Now, here's how I would get around it if I was going to do this. I see Jesus in you. I see the resurrected Christ. No. According to 1 Corinthians 9, it says you had to see him. Paul the apostle saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, in that bright light. So Paul then was an apostle. So here's the thing, guys. When you're turning on TV or whatever and say, well, let me introduce you to Apostle so-and-so. He's more like a missionary because he hasn't seen the risen Christ. That's a requirement of the Bible. Be careful. The second thing is they have to be explicitly chosen by the Holy Spirit, and they have the ability to perform signs and wonders, according to Acts 2:43 and 2 Corinthians 12:12. You go, Ben, what's the point? Here's the point, guys. The responsibility of the 12 apostles, their goal back was to lay the foundation of the church. 2,000 years later, we're still not laying that same foundation. It's already been laid. What are we doing? We're building the church. We have the foundation. You go, okay, so what's your point? There's no modern day apostles. There's a lot of missionaries, a lot of sent out ones, but there's not an office of the apostle, okay? So what does he do? Mark employs that term. Now, we know that Mark is getting his information from Peter, but we know that Peter's not filled with pride going, okay, hey, Mark, right, apostle. Yeah, no. I was a fisherman, but now I'm an apostle. He's not doing that because God doesn't call us to walk in pride. He calls us to walk humility. As a matter of fact, Paul, I bet you Peter's like, don't even say that. But he says, no, there's an office. So he calls him and he says, look at verse 31. He called him and he says, come alongside yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Okay? Now, for there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. Now, here's what you need to know. Verse 31 lays the principle for our study today. It lays the principle. You go, how so? I want you to think about what Jesus said. Then Jesus said, hey, guys, listen, that was amazing. You did what? Wow, that was crazy. Yeah, God is good. Amen. And Jesus is just encouraging him. He goes, hey, guys, let's get away. Let's get away and let's go to a quiet place and how about we rest? And he realized this because the text says that so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have time to eat. They didn't have time to eat. The disciples, at this point, we could say they're running on empty. They're running on empty. You see, their lives are filled with ministry and fellowship and life and all the other things, but they're running on empty. And I think you and I can learn a lesson. What do you mean, Pastor? When it comes to us, we too can run on empty. And if you're taking note, there are three main categories that we experience this. You go, what are they? Number one, physically. Jot that down, physically. Listen, when the disciples came back to Jesus, they were exhausted. And you and I, we expect them to push it through. Why? Because simply they're working for Jesus. Come on, you're working for Jesus, let's go. And they're like, physically. The reality for them and us is prescribed what Jesus just did. You guys ready? Let's get away. Let's get away from the noise and let's take time to rest. To rest physically. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I